Hello to another Cage Club Revisited. Today is the Weatherman from 2000, I think, right? 2000? That sounds right.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'll go with 2000. We're really less prepared than anything.
You're doing great on facts today.
most of these movies that we're doing, we're just on IMDb like, what was that again? Who was that guy?
Well, I mean, again, for the actual Cage Club, we were so, I feel like...
We were over-prepared.
We were really prepared. For these, are super casual.
So, yep. So we're watching the DVD today because it's not on the Blu-ray. So we're going to start playing in 3, 2, 1. And then I'm going to wait 4 seconds because we're at 4 seconds for some reason. And we're good.
Cool.
Jordan, you've never seen this one either?
Never seen this one. I mean, it's been on TV and I've maybe seen like a little bit
of it.
Oh,
this absolutely feels like an always on TV movie.
Yeah.
And not necessarily in a bad way, just in like a... It's kind of low-key.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it on a couple times since we watched it. Again, the first time seeing this was for Cage Club.
Yeah, me too.
Gore Verbinski.
National Treasure? Did he do National Treasure?
No, that was Turtletaub. He did Pirates.
Oh, that's what it is.
Arr. Cage, which, want Cage to be a
you
pirate.
You really want him in Pirates.
That's a nice shot.
I feel like he's going to be kind of toned down in this.
Oh, he's 100% toned down in this. This is such a come down after just having watched Wild at Heart, where he's just like, turn up to 11. Here, he's just like, this is basically a movie about depression, kind of. Not really, sort of.
I mean,
there's reflections
somewhat.
On depression.
That's more than you told me 5 minutes ago when I asked what it was about.
It's kind of ends
well,
up
you
being...
Well, you said, what is he? We said he's a weatherman.
I feel like it gets becomes uplifting by the end.
Oh, right, some great Cage voiceover. Always a treat to have Cage voiceover. Doesn't happen nearly enough.
No. Hello, America. It's crazy they got Brian Gumbel for this.
I feel like, I honestly feel like for all movies, like, you can get any news anchor.
But then you would, then he'd be in more movies, right? Well,
not a lot of movies need news anchors.
All the Sharknado movies do. The entire NBC
Forgive
team.
Forgive me. All the Sharknado movies
I also
need
feel
news
like,
anchors.
I feel like Brian Williams was doing Real Sports by now. Wasn't even doing like early morning talk or news and stuff.
Not Brian Williams. You mean Brian Gumbel?
Brian Gumbel. Wow. Brian Williams isn't doing the news anymore, right?
No, he got... Well, no, he might be back now.
I feel like he still works for NBC, but he doesn't anchor the nightly news anymore.
So his apartment is pretty... bare and boring.
See, he's gesturing as a weatherman.
Thanks.
Took his morning routine.
I wasn't sure.
Like, I know
I've seen... I like the idea that he's just being crazy Nicholas Cage.
Well, because, like, so around this time, I sort of kind of, you know, if I'm trying to describe them, because I've only seen each once, I kind of confuse this with a little bit with, like, Lord of War and The Family Man. Like, he all feels sort of...
I get this mixed up with Matchstick Men a lot.
Oh, okay. I've seen that a couple of times. That's okay. Why I don't. But like in the beginning of The Family Man, he's like opera singing and like just wildly gesturing around his apartment. And
yeah,
so like
when I put this on my list of movies I wanted to watch, I thought it was that one, The Family Man.
Well, I think Zach is going to be doing that one because Zach did that. He did that one because for the podcast because he thought it was going to be bad, and then we all watched it. And, like we all like showed up. We're just like, guys, this is a good movie.
That was the best. Yeah, I think that was his first episode. Like the first time I met him over the phone during that episode, and yeah. We turned him into like a Cage believer, I think, after that one, right?
Yeah, because we're like, oh, Brett Ratner, like, yeah, all right, yeah, good job. Local celebrity. This guy can grab some pussy. He's a bit of a celebrity.
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Bro, I've got a story about. There's two DMVs about 10 minutes from my house.
Okay.
If you go south, it's a hellish landscape that gives the DMV a bad name. And if you go northwest, it is like a delight. Everybody is happy. There's no customers. And I completely forgot that one existed, so I went to the other one. I was like, oh, this is miserable. And I was like, wait a minute, there's a better way. It's like almost like an infomercial, like black and white versus color. Like, I can't believe that there's, like, filled with this kind of person versus the other one where there's literally no line ever.
Oh, man. This is just, like, the impossible argument here.
What movie was it? Was it the one with Sacha Jessica Parker, Honeymoon in Vegas, where he, like, has the airport freak out on Ben Stein? That was that one?
Yep.
Airport that reminds show. Me. That reminds me of that.
So he definitely hung out for an afternoon at a TV station and walked around with the weatherman and stuff. He seems very natural with this stuff in front of the green screen.
What if his only practice was the earlier scene that they shot where he was gesturing his apartment? Like, he was that natural of a pickup of that quick of a study.
Warm up.
What if after this movie he decided to quit acting and become a weatherman for Chicago? He's like, I got a new calling.
Well, if that happened, I don't know if he'd be doing Cage Club. Maybe, probably. Because I guess, sadly, by this point in his life, 2000, most of his good movies were behind him already.
Yeah, what was after this?
Mm-hmm. The two National Treasure movies, the two Ghost Rider movies, Adaptation. A lot of good stuff, but I mean, like, the action movies were all behind him. Wild at Heart was behind him. Leaving Las Vegas was behind him.
I feel like what he will be known for was mostly behind
yes.
him.
This is sort of like, we were comparing Sweet November to Family Man, but this also compares to this, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Like, all around this time, like, turn of the century, new millennium, a lot of, like, business-oriented gentlemen not knowing how to, like, balance work and family. Basically a question that Scott Aukerman would ask on the early seasons of Comedy Bang Bang. How do you balance work and family? It's a lot of, this is not how you should be living. You're either going to, you know, go back in time and, like, you know, learn from Don Cheadle the Angel, like, what to do, or have, like, a cancer-sick girl teach you what to do, or here.
This was,
just take up archery, I guess?
What year was Sweet November? It was still in the
2001.
90s, right? Oh, 2001. I'm just curious, like, how much that has to do with it being, like, pre-9/11, and, like, this is the problem we thought we were facing, and then it became a very different problem.
Right.
So, where I just got to in The Sopranos, gonna keep mentioning Sopranos, was the first season. Season 4 aired a year after, like, season 3 ended in May 01, and season 4 started in September 02. Mm-hmm. And so, a lot of, like, the talk early on is about, like, feelings of safety and security and terrorism and everything. It just sort of came out of nowhere in terms of what they were talking about, so there is definitely a naivete where we thought we had problems. I mean, like, these problems still exist. Like, Noah Baumbach makes every movie about these kind of problems.
Yeah, of course. Well, because this is just life is this problem, right? The balance of life.
Yes, right.
I forgot Alfred was in this.
Like, I mean, technically the plot of this is, will he go to a better station in New York? But the movie isn't really about his, like...
Job,
right. It's about his family life, his personal life. More about adjusting his personal life. Like, he can predict the weather, but he can't predict anything to do with, like, his own family.
And Michael Caine is a dick in this movie, from what I remember.
Yeah.
Who is Michael Caine to him?
His dad.
Oh, yeah. That's what I thought.
He's
okay.
Gonna bust out an American accent in this movie. Usually it's Cage putting on the accents, but not this time. And he tries to do sort of, like, that Sean Connery Boston accent from The Untouchables. Where he adds a little bit of, like, a gravel to his voice. Oh, gosh.
Speaking of, you know, the last one recorded, we talked about having, like, a head-exploding podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If we followed that up with, like, the ultimate squib podcast, which I feel is sort of, I was there too with Matt Gourley, we would be able to do, for sure, RoboCop, but also The Untouchables, because Sean Connery gets shot to death in that movie. Spoiler alert.
They light him up.
We could also do Total Recall, the escalator scene.
the whole movie. Like, the Squibs in Total Recall are my favorite.
No, they're going to add tax to it. I'm so stressed out right now. Oh.
Just nothing's going his way.
No.
He can't do anything right.
Just so mean.
What is that letter?
It's like he's being
the big station in New York.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
He's being considered for promotion, but his dad is like a author who's dying of cancer, so he could care less right now. He thinks his son's sort of.
But also, isn't this in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Like, Chicago's a huge market. Like, I understand that New York's probably a bigger market, but like.
Yeah, it's.
Well,
it's
all
a big market,
shows
but
come out of New York.
That's yeah, true. That's
and
the
I
thing.
Not
he's
also,
not national.
All Chicago not all Chicago networks are the same.
Mm-hmm. So he's still technically like small time, I guess.
It's a big news market, but you're still only playing to Chicago.
He's lived a storied life. National Treasure.
National Treasure.
Here's a tip. Buy Lindsay Gibb's book. It's great. It's all about Nicolas Cage. We should just plug that book on every
episode. Yeah, we should start plugging it on every episode. You're right. That book makes so much sense out of like a lot of his choices.
Yeah. And that really... The book gets into a lot of things that we don't really necessarily cover.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go really super deep, I don't think, into his personal life, but it goes deeper into his personal life than we ever try to. Plus, it also just talks about all the movies and stuff like that, so definitely worth buying. And, as I say every time we talk about it, it's an adorable purple little cover, so...
The weather business.
This movie is so sad.
Oh, it's super depressing.
But there's also sort of, like, it ends with hope. Like, it ends on an upswing. Let me start with the archery.
Who's that kid? Is she in other stuff?
He's gonna hook her up with everything.
And then she bails it for one lesson, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. And then he picks it up. And this is pre-Katniss, so I feel like it's a little outside the box for this teenage girl to want to do archery.
She's 24 now. She's known for Erin Brockovich, this, Towelhead, and Prank.
So she's not really in anything.
She's been in 5 things. The other thing she was in was 1 episode of ER. From what I remember, she's not great in this movie.
We'll see her in Erin Brockovich, I guess.
Hey,
it's Beast.
Oh, Nicholas Holt.
Yeah,
it's
Nick
Tony
Holt.
Tony from Skins.
Oh.
He's also...
That's who he was first.
I mean, he's also... What's his face from... What's his name in Mad Max?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Nux?
Yeah.
Nux.
But he's also in About a Boy.
Yeah, I
he's
like
also
him.
In Warm Bodies.
He's good actor.
Which is another Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, the zombie.
I still got to bring up that when I was in Tobin's screenwriting class and I wanted to write a zombie musical, Romeo and Juliet... And everybody thought it was a dumb idea, and then 3 years later, Warm Bodies come out. Not a musical, but like...
Have you ever seen Tromeo and Juliet?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Okay, so honestly, Romeo and Juliet is a big part of the reason why I'm friends with Jordan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Romeo and Juliet used to play 24/7 on RCTV.
Yep. Oh, nice, nice.
And I remember we were just watching
James
in
Gunn
our dorm lounge, and we were just like, "What?" We're like, "What is this? Like, what is Channel 69?"
All the time.
And then I think that was when me and Payson was. No. That's when Alan was like, "Oh, that's RCTV." I was like, "Well, I want to be a part of this."
Because Jerry was the only one playing anything.
Yeah, so basically because of Troma, I'm friends with a lot of the friends I'm in a PR
with.
Oh,
cool. Yeah, Jerry totally introduced me to that movie for sure. I knew about Troma films like I knew about Nukem High and Toxic Avenger and things, but I did not know about Romeo and Juliet until I came to college.
Look at that, like that white tin up there, Toxie's Blood Bank. That's just like 10 Troma movies you don't know exist. That, like, you know,
Sergeant Kabuki Man, isn't that another one? Or something.
I mean, they make a lot of movies.
Yeah, and they're all below schlock. Yeah, there are.
My favorite is Rabid Grannies.
Rabid Grannies is great. That was on
Poultrygeist.
That's up. Yeah, that's my favorite one.
I think the last one I saw was Poultrygeist, but that was almost like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't like that one.
Oh man, Dom Bowden.
He's also not being British in this.
Right. We didn't talk about how weird Dom Bowden, the character, is. Who's supposedly, like, sort of his sponsor or something, because the kid got in trouble for smoking weed.
Oh, he's very rapey.
Ugh. Oh, I remember now. The mom in this.
Hope Davis.
Yeah. So I remember I was watching Wayward Pines, and I was like, where the hell is she from? Where is she from? And this was what I knew her most from.
Hey, how was your thing? It was good. Thanks, Mom.
Mom talk.
Mom hat. It's a cool hat she's got on.
Is it?
You don't think? I do.
For a mom.
I think it's cool.
Is it?
Yeah, sometimes this movie just feels like they're filming your neighbors.
What do you mean?
Like, everything is just so normal. Like, like this part of the movie is just, like, everyday normal life. And I'm not saying it's bad or anything. It's interesting.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. It's just a slice of life. A slice
right.
of boring life.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what I'm getting at. Life is boring. Sometimes, and the movies usually don't show that.
Oh boy, this
why is he gonna do this? Why?
Because
no,
he's
I don't
awkward.
Because
he's
I don't
awkward.
Like it. Is she crying? Oh, he makes me so sad.
This is probably the most depressing Cage.
I don't remember it being this sad.
You don't remember him like...
No, I remember this movie. I just don't remember it being, like, this depressing.
When I think about this movie, I just think about him carrying a bow and arrow through rain. Like, that's all... Like, just that idea is
I think
sad.
Of him getting hit with food, which should be coming
oh,
up right
yep.
about
no.
now.
He gets hit by so much
there's
food.
There's a lot of fast food product placement in this.
That's a kind of a running theme throughout the movie, is that... Even being a weatherman is sort of like fast food news in a way, where it's you get it right away, and then the next day it's gone, and you don't really digest it. And I feel like there are parallels between the weatherman and fast food restaurants.
That's pretty deep.
I think we mentioned that on the podcast too at some point. Like they're just they even show SpongeBob at one point, right? And
they do.
He works at a fast food restaurant, and he's. Sort of like a, yeah, just.
You just read the weather. Thanks, Dad. I was rewatching American Honey, and they're like toward the end of the movie, they're like they're driving to a new town. Like, I think it's probably the final town that they go into, and like the kids are all just like, "Oh, Taco Bell! We were looking for." They all cheer Taco Bell, like, and then the next Taco Bell is Burger King. They're like. Fuck Burger King! No. I'm sorry. They say, fuck you, Burger King, which is even weirder and funnier. Why you got such hostility against Burger King, kids? movie's very quiet.
Again, I don't remember that. I'm learning a lot during these rewatchings. I know that I'm very much looking forward to Gore Verbinski's next movie, which will be out by the time this has been released, which is A Cure for Wellness, which I hope is as good as I hope it is.
Which one is that?
That's with Dane DeHaan.
Where he goes to the spa in the mountains to retrieve a colleague and kind of gets trapped in the weird sort of day spa slash asylum.
There's a Super Bowl commercial about it.
Sensory deprivation tanks and all kinds of weirdness. Because he didn't do the new Pirates movie.
This is a good little montage. I think it's a montage, or is he just talking about it?
I think we see some of it.
We definitely see a bunch of it, because I remember I screenshotted every time he got hit with something.
Spritz.
The Spritz Nipper.
But I just think of, like, spritzing a plant with water or something, right?
It's even sadder to have to watch him fake smile and do the weather.
How do you become a weatherman then? Like, it feels like something you just kind of luck into. Maybe he was in broadcasting or acting.
There we go. I love this.
President Cage.
Actually, you know, next weekend as we're recording this is President's Day weekend, so this it almost couldn't be more timely to watch this. Good job, Jordan, for accidentally picking this.
Yep. It was totally on purpose.
Is that nudity in every movie we watch today?
Three for three boobs.
Yeah, a lot of boobs today.
At least he, like, lives at home. Like, if he was going, like, I know you're obviously not, like, a traveling weatherman. But, like,
he
if
lives
he was,
at home?
If he was, no, but, I mean, if he's, like, living out of, like, hotels, like, that'd be even more depressing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, if this was, like, salesman instead of weatherman, it would be...
No, that's that other movie. Up in the Air.
Which Chris Mattiello, host of Now and Again, go listen to Now and Again, rewatched, and he loves it. I need to rewatch that.
I thought it was good. I saw it once in theaters.
With Anna Kendrick?
Well, with George Clooney. But yes, Anna Kendrick's in it.
And we didn't know her before that. We knew him.
It's true. I did not know her before that. Yeah, I was like, who is this girl? And then she started popping up in, like, comedies instead. I was like, I thought she was going to be a dramatic actress. And she does both. Reminds me of the Home Alone house, kind of.
Same city.
Yeah.
Same season.
Yep. Same snow.
Yep.
This movie looks really nice, though. He's like, nah, fuck that, kid.
That's
I bought
the
yours.
Sponsor guy?
Yeah. Yep.
It gets real gross soon.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
He already looks leery.
I don't know if he does. I think we're maybe projecting that on him. I mean, he doesn't look like...
I think he looks weird.
What? She's like 10 years old.
You didn't see her buy cigarettes before?
No.
He gave her $20 and she just bought a pack.
Oh, I didn't see that. I remember when he gave her the money.
The woman just didn't care.
Oh, we get the C word again.
That's two movies in a row with that.
Whoa. This movie's starting to disturb me.
There they are. Shelley and Jackson. The dynamic duo. As we're on movie number three of the day, I feel like you guys have both run out of words.
That kind of happens a little bit. Yeah, I'm starting to.
Jordan
maybe
ran out of words during the first movie,
I keep getting stuck just watching the movies.
I'm trying to think of things here.
But this is also like kind of a slower movie.
It is.
It's tougher. Yeah, Jordan hasn't seen it
before.
I'm
just trying.
So.
Like, if people are listening to this without actually watching the movie, there's gonna be like long swaths of silence.
Again, I don't know who would, but.
Maybe we just won't recommend it.
I think more people will listen to these without watching the movie than will watch the movie with these.
Mm. Well, I could tell you guys my weatherman story.
Go for it.
I used to work at the news.
Oh, okay.
And CBS. The weatherman used to rollerblade around the building.
Oh no, he didn't.
It was the best. Yep, I think he like rollerbladed to and from work. So like when he arrived or was leaving work, he would just be rollerblading in the hallways.
Was it like a huge building? Did he?
Yeah. Okay. It was a gigantic building.
All right. That makes a little more sense.
It was super fun though. I've never known anybody else to do that.
Was he friends with Steve Ballton?
He was a TV guy, and we were radio.
Team Spritz. This seems like a good way to twist your ankle. Like, not just a three-legged race, but a three-legged race on ice.
Or, like, to tear a hole in the bottom
of
that.
Yeah, that's not... That seems really sketchy. That guy's hurt.
Slow and steady usually wins these races.
No.
Whoa.
Can't hurt the on-air talent. Come on, kid. This girl really kind of is the worst.
But, like...
She's so angsty.
But, like, he probably also sucks, and her parents are divorced, and...
Yeah, I understand why. I'm just saying...
I feel like she's pretty typical, like... Young teen, yeah. Well, just going through puberty and doesn't... You know, embarrassed by your parents and... trying to figure out your own thing.
Not a football jocker.
I don't think I've ever heard the word jocker.
That's not a thing.
It's most definitely not a thing.
Oh, the stepdad.
They cannot know that she tore her ACL that quickly.
Oh, the language.
Poor Cage. We're also getting a lot of swearing in all three movies. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. Wild at Heart.
A lot
but, like,
of F-bombs.
But this and Valley Girl are sort of unexpected.
This is weird. I feel like Cage could take that guy.
We're definitely still in the, like, Cage making pretty exclusively good decisions in terms of what mm-hmm. movies to do phase of his career.
Yeah.
It's just, we're rapidly reaching the end of that.
Yeah, this is still a good one. It's just, it's
depressing.
It's heavy, man. He hasn't really done a lot of heavy movies either, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, like, does he have any other movies like this? I mean, The Family Man, right?
But even that is much lighter.
No, yeah, that's more
There's
of
no
like a...
There's no death in that, really. Like, no
I
one's
mean, Bad
dying
Lieutenant is kind of depressing, but that's also just great.
But that's just insanity.
That's just Werner Herzog. Guarding Tess is kind of depressing.
Oh, this is the camel toe conversation?
but it's not what you think. Time to Kill is depressing. Guarding Tess is depressing.
Well, that movie's just bad. Like, this is still a good movie.
I'm just saying in terms of tone, in terms of...
Yeah, Guarding Tess, which was supposed to be a comedy, decided he'd rather not be. Oh, the camel toe.
Aww.
That's like the most polite way of describing what a camel toe is.
Yeah.
Well, right after getting Michael Caine explicitly telling you specifically what it is.
But, like, they're not calling her that for some reason. It's some other... Or she doesn't... No, she doesn't know what it means.
Mm-hmm. Right. She thinks it's something cool, right?
Yeah, like, she spits like a cat. I don't remember what it is. Sweet flip phone, bro.
It's totally dating this movie. No iPhones. What's that, a landline? Come on, people. She reminds me of Dr. Abigail Chase, the way she looks.
Huh.
Oh, God.
Scared me.
I like that they know his car somehow.
Do you think all the throwing food at him is supposed to be as sad as it is, or was it supposed to be funny?
It is funny.
That one was kind of funny.
I think it's supposed to show sort of like a, yeah, like, it's still something mean and sad that and degrading that happens to him, but it elicits a laugh just naturally because it's someone getting hit with food. Like, I still feel bad for him, but...
Oh, and that's actually... Hold on, sorry. Yeah. That's the second movie today where there's been food thrown. We had a food fight with Valley Girl.
There was a food fight earlier.
Which I don't think we never assumed as a Cage connection before.
No.
It's weird, like, these, you know, randomly just picking movies were uncovering lost or hidden Cage connections. But yeah, I think you're right that it's just sort of like a... It's funny only because it doesn't happen often, but it's also, it's like, super depressing and humiliating.
Like, he just isn't aware 100%.
He's just kind of a doofus.
Yeah, I don't think everyone else is that awesome either, though.
No, because it's realistic.
Yeah. Like, everyone sucks.
Whereas opposed to Wild at Heart, which we just watched, where everything is, like, super movie and not real life, this is, like, the absolute opposite of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, like, in this movie, if somebody came up, you know, quacking like a duck, everybody would become obsessed with that because of, like, this is... We've never seen anything like this before.
He's gonna look at it, right?
Of course.
I didn't think it would be that soon.
Immediately. I mean, he doesn't even go into a stall.
Just go inside a stall.
I forgot that detail.
A little bit of a continuity error. He's got a different name tag on now, I think. I was admiring his handwriting when he was out there.
Oh.
He had a lowercase E in Dave, and now he all of a sudden has an uppercase E in Dave.
Okay. We are straining for details here today.
No, I just noticed that, because I was going to comment on, like, how I liked his handwriting, and she had cool, like, handwriting, too, and then before I even, like, thought to, like, articulate that, the wool was pulled over my eyes by this film.
He wasn't supposed to read it.
I know, but he can't help
he's
it.
He's the worst.
But she's kind of a dick, too. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's not like any of these people are amazing people.
Yeah, they're just more real.
You just
real.
Know him the best.
Yeah. Well, comparing this to 17 again, which we just watched for Zack Attack, like, I just feel that no matter what he does, no matter who he is, she's already, like, permanently out of love with him.
Yeah.
Because, like, in 17 again, when Zack... or when Matthew Perry becomes Zac Efron, he is basically, you know, the same guy. He knows all the same things, but because it's somebody else, somebody different, she's able to look at him with fresh eyes. Like, Leslie Mann can be like, oh, this is somebody new.
Yeah.
Here, you know, she's always going to be, like, nasty and bitter to him just because of how toxic their relationship is. So what were they supposed to do with the note? Not
just
read it?
Just not read it.
Yeah, it's just an
it
exercise.
Like
a trust.
Exercise.
Yeah.
Like, this is just unnecessarily mean.
She digs in pretty deep here for unknown reasons.
No.
There's a lot of that kind of in this movie where people overhear things at the right moment.
Oh, it's so stressful.
And calling him out professionally, too.
That was a torn ACL. They're very blue. Oh, could you imagine having to read his novel after you've won the Pulitzer Prize and he's written something that's taken 4 years and is barely legible?
That's why the whole thing, right? Like, that he sort of wants to be his dad and just can't be. Ugh. Just depressing.
Yep. Nothing like hospitals in the cancer ward. Oh, great. No treatment.
Now, Dr. Frost should be a weatherman with a name like that. Hoo boy.
I think they did that on purpose.
Probably. His salaries are already great, though. Oh, isn't he making like $1 million or something? Like, he'd be making like a crazy amount of money in New York.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like a relatively crazy amount of money in Chicago.
Yeah, it'll be national, right? Yeah, so everyone will see him.
Oh,
keep
him
away from
himself.
the bad influences there, but closer to the bad influences of New York City.
Well, I don't know if he's lying to himself as much as he's just like overly optimistic for a future that he sort of knows won't happen.
Yeah, I think he's just sort of talk dreaming with his dad, telling him, you know, trying to get his dad to like feel hopeful, like he's trying to get him to feel like, don't worry, like I've still got time to be a success.
That look.
That's the actual meteorologist?
Yeah, I think so. He just doesn't have Nick Cage good looks to be on camera.
Yeah. Here's where he gets back into archery. The difference between this lesson and his daughter's lesson, like night and day.
Kids don't need to stretch for anything.
But it's like learning technique and
things. See, it's not like we're finally edging out of depression, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I honestly still can't believe how popular archery got in films over the past 10 years or so.
Well, there's Hawkeye and there's Katniss and there's a third one. What's the other one? The other big one.
I don't know, but I mean, just between those two, it feels like a lot has gone down, and then it's just sort of appeared everywhere else. Like I know Arrow on TV.
Sure.
And now there's like several archers on that show.
Curiously, no archery on the show Archer.
Hmm.
See, this is like a date for him and his advisor.
Yeah, this is not cool.
Super creepy.
Is this the part that's going to be weird?
The whole thing is weird.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, he catches on before it goes too far.
Yeah, I don't think anything like too bad happens. It's just like the insinuation of what's coming. That is, no pun intended, is just icky.
Like, yeah, we should take some pictures, man. Like, let's take pictures of each other and see if we've built muscle.
Take all your clothes off. Let me see what you look like now, and then we'll see what you look like in a couple weeks.
Whip your shirt off. Whip your pants off.
No. No.
He does it. This is not a lovely day.
Poor Nux.
Is he?
No.
Look at those biceps.
That's just pervert talk. He's gonna compare that to his jock. Dude, that is ultra weird.
He still kind of sounds British.
Hmm. Yeah. Even in, like, X-Men at times, I feel like he's speaking a certain way not to slip his accent.
Mm-hmm.
How old do you think he is, like, here? Like, 15-ish?
I think so. 15. I just remember him having a huge growth spurt as an actor. Like Chachi-sized growth spurts. Like, one movie he was, like, a little kid, and the next movie he was, like, an adult, like, a little adult like this.
Well, this movie's 2005. I thought it was 2000. 2005. Sorry for lying to you at the top. Because I was like, he was born in 89. I'm like, he's not 11 in this movie.
Oh, that changes my whole 9/11 theory.
Oh, because this is post. Hmm.
My apologies.
You know what this does kind of feel like, though? Normalcy. Right? Like...
the new normal?
Right. Like, right. Or, like, getting back to it. Or trying to. And then realizing, like, normality is bad. Or it wasn't working. Or don't go back. Move forward.
Now, this is just like another thing, like a whole other reason. Like, he's passionate about something, positive and optimistic about something, and his daughter just does not care.
It went farther than before.
It did. He's got all the terms down.
Yep. I still think it would be cool if this movie kind of became like surreal, and he sort of became like a hunter. You know what I mean? Like, but it doesn't get like that. He just
right. It just plays out. That would be crazy though if it got a little more surreal and cerebral.
And, like, all of a sudden, like, the apocalypse happened. He had to, like, well, now with his, like, new skills, like, he could protect his family and win over his ex-wife's heart.
I could see it if there was, like, a bounty placed on his head and he had to, like, try and get out of the city with just his bow and arrow.
A $7 million bounty and all of New York is bounty hunters.
I would love to see that, like, a movie that was one movie for the first hour and was a completely different movie.
Watch Bird People. Watch Bird People.
Dust Till Dawn's like that if you don't know what the twist is.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, I didn't know entirely the first time seeing it. Oh, is this the camel toe talk again? Or something? Oh, no, you're going to shoot. What are you going to do?
You can also go to, like, a moving target range.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's real sad about that. Oh, duck walking on ice.
Now I'm trying to think of other movies that are one movie for an hour and another movie for the second hour.
There aren't really. I can't think of any.
Well, because normally it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Well, you get, like, sometimes you get movies.
How do we know it wouldn't work? No one's ever really tried it.
Well, I guess, like, the closest you get, you also get things like Death Proof, where an hour into the movie, basically everyone you know dies.
Yeah, it resets.
But it's the same movie through and through.
You get movies like Lion, where the first half, it's, like, all from the little boy, and then it's 25 years later, and then the next hour is all of him as, like, a young man.
But again, that's like Death Proof. Like, that's the same story. You know, that's like the same.
Yeah. Right. If this suddenly.
Dust Till Dawn is a good example. Bird People is. I think it's a. It's Bird People is so weird and unique like that. My goal for this movie is to come up with one more that's like that.
By the end. That house is killing me. Like, I feel like it's a movie house I've seen and stuff. I don't know why it's bothering me so much this time around. Cage does a really good job of, like, reining himself in, you know? It's amazing how much he could control himself as an actor, right? Like... like, I don't think he's ever gone this soft or quiet before.
Well, like we were talking about for the Valley Girl thing, when Jordan was like, he can make facial expressions, like, he's just, like, a really good actor. And, like, whether he needs to be, like, reserved or, like, be, like, over the top like he was in Wild at Heart, he can pull it off.
That's the thing. I think, you know, watching Wild at Heart and then this back-to-back, even if they're not going to be released back-to-back, we watched them back-to-back, it really puts his range into perspective again. Like, it's so... drastic. Like, I can't believe how incredibly opposite of the way he was acting in Wild at Heart he's doing here. Like, if anything, he's de-emphasizing stuff. Oh, the tartar sauce. This was like the last straw, right?
Oh, right. But at the same time, like, there would have been a tartar sauce the next day. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But I don't think it was like the last time. I think it's like I said, like the last straw. Like, I feel like he's forgotten not just the tartar sauce 100 times, but 100 other things. And this is a great. Like, mind scrambler.
Yeah. What? This is great Cage voiceover.
Just amazing stream of consciousness.
But now that he's not saying tartar sauce anymore.
I haven't had a Spanish omelet in a long time. They were cool about it.
The Congress is kind of a movie that's the second half that's completely different. It becomes animated halfway through.
Oh, that's the one with Robin Wright?
Yep, where she plays Robin Wright.
Nice Che Guevara poster. Oh, it must be a Rage Against the Machine poster. Yeah, that's never fun for kids.
He's chewing something very crunchy.
Usually the same thing. Like, Michael Caine's dropping knowledge, but it also feels like he's kind of being mean about it.
You say he's dropping knowledge like Galileo dropped the orange?
It's so judgmental.
Yes. And it's his own son.
Yeah, to his own son.
Yeah, that's all I got. I got two movies, The Congress and Bird People. And now back to Cage Club. Oh my god. He's a final three finalist.
Spoiler.
Well, they just call them. I mean, they wouldn't call him. He wouldn't be on an airplane if he wasn't a finalist.
Okay.
Context clues, Jordan.
Okay.
Oh, they all go, right, because he's got the specialist.
Oh, right. Of course they were all going to go to New York.
Upbeat music, a little bit. Oh, this is a cute scene.
From what I remember. Shopping. A little bit of a fashion show.
Dad's in lady stores.
He's trying, though, you know?
Yeah. Oh! He's just so dishonest. If he could just be honest, all of his problems would be solved.
You want him to say, I can see your vagina through your pants?
No, but there's, like, a subtle way to be like, why don't you try different pants?
Yeah, he doesn't seem to know how to handle anything, really.
Like, anything.
Yeah. It's like, just deal with it, man. He just avoids stuff.
Here's where they talk about it.
Okay.
Forget why, what her reasoning is.
She's about to give it. Let's see.
Oh, right.
Aww.
It's really spinning to a positive in a way that, like... Whew.
Yep. that crisis is averted. Sort of overcame one obstacle there.
See, he's trying to fix it in a nice way. I don't know what she's wearing yet.
That's nice, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't like the hat.
I mean, she's just trying to be like Hope Davis. She had the hat. Wasn't a fan of that hat. Even though Mike liked it. You look like young Sarah Jessica Parker in Sex and the City.
Huh. Not the Carrie Bradshaw Chronicles.
Oh, I forgot that was a thing.
This is like a through the decades montage now.
Ew. Another montage.
The hats?
Just kidding, they're all from the 60s.
Everything has a hat.
Even Cage.
Honestly, Cage looks better in the hat than she does, which is kind of crazy. But it's for a good reason, you'll see.
Okay, cool. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he finally realized, that, like, things were a little rapey.
Mm-hmm. They're going to see Caligula. Oh.
Oh, no. That's a really, I've never seen, like, that kind of storyline in a movie before, I don't think.
Want to make Jack something, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, use the word Jack, all right. What do you mean, what is this? You're a Pulitzer Prize winning author. How do you not know what people are talking about these days?
No, he knows. He knows what it is. He's just saying, like, where did it come from?
Yeah, like, why is this happening?
Right. Yeah, but does he expect Cage to have that answer?
I mean, his kid's father.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, it's not an answer with, it's not a question with an answer. He's more like, you know, what is the world coming to? And I think Cage actually thinks he wants a response. Why are they calling it pop? I thought they just called it that in Canada.
No, the Midwest.
No, it's like the Midwest.
Well, the Midwest is wrong.
My family in Pittsburgh, let's see if I can do it. They call it pop. Man. It's like a crazy accent.
Pop. Well,
Pittsburgh has like a pretty terrible accent.
It's a really hard accent.
The place is the Pittsburgh.
I like how long it took her to realize that she didn't have any money. I do like that he refers to it multiple times as a dildo. He's the worst father.
Yeah, he
Michael
is.
Caine.
He is bad.
As bad as Cage is, Michael Caine's even worse.
Well, yeah, you can see why he's a terrible father, because...
Oh, absolutely.
Michael Caine's a
Sins
terrible
of the father.
Father.
I'm trying to think if Cage really had daddy issues in other movies, too. Probably, right?
Like being a dad or like his own dad?
Well, he doesn't really have kids in a whole lot of movies, honestly.
Knowing,
but he's fine in that. Whenever he's a teacher, he's fine. Yeah, this movie's kind of like, there'd be like these one-offs where like, it's
gave
sort
the
of...
kid his wallet.
Yeah. Yep. That's the family motto. You should carry more than a dollar.
Well, it's not even the family motto. It's just like what the family says to Cage. Like, family advice to him.
Also, like, this guy is really that mad that his son can't, like, doesn't have enough money to buy him a paper and a coffee? Like, get over it. I don't know.
I mean, I understand. Like, he finds out that he's dying of, you know, cancer. But, you know, it's your son. You're supposed to, you know, try to be supportive.
I guess Cage is more of like a father figure than an actual father in a lot of movies. Like, he's a father in Trespass. That's not really...
Right.
No real daddy issues there. But, like, in Joe, sort of in The Trust, he's a father figure to Elijah Wood.
Big Daddy, he's Daddy, you know, in
he's
Kick-Ass.
He's an actual father there, yeah.
Matchstick Men.
Right.
That's a con. That's not his daughter.
Yeah, but it's a fake daughter.
That's
but a spoiler. They become like, daughter and father a lot.
He's a father figure in Snowden.
Oh, Snowden. Oh, I wish Cage was in much more of that movie. Minibar. Oh, he still has his audition. I forget if we see his audition or not.
I don't think we do. I don't remember.
I mean, I don't know what else is going to happen in this movie. I forgot, you know, how dark and depressing it was to begin with. Like, I'm off the rails right now. I don't know what's coming. I cannot remember. I think he hallucinates the parade here.
This is where SpongeBob shows up.
Okay. And any minute.
There's the Bob.
It's very predominantly featured in this film. He comes back again.
Oh, right, he's talking about, like, how good his life is.
Ed McMahon. R.I.P. Yeah, just dreaming of how he wants it to be. Wow, almost $1 million. This movie needs more pirates for a Gore Verbinski film. What else has he been? What else has he done aside from Rango? I don't really feel like I know a lot of Gore Verbinski stuff.
Well, he's known for Three Pirates and Rango.
Yeah.
He's only directed 11 things.
Okay.
Cure for Wellness, The Lone Ranger.
Oh, Lone Ranger.
Rango, Pirates, This Pirates, The Ring.
The Ring?
The Mexican.
Oh, The Mexican with Julia Roberts.
And Brad Pitt. And Gandolfini and J.K. Simmons. Whoa. And Mouse Hunt.
Oh, okay. I like that movie a lot. That's written by Adam Rifkin. Mouse Hunt.
That's a Riff Coogan joint?
That's a Riff Coogan joint written by Coogan himself.
And then he also did a short called The Ritual.
Okay.
That he wrote and directed.
All right.
But yeah, not a lot.
Yeah. This doesn't seem like part of his wheelhouse, exactly. I mean, it's good. He's doing a good job, but this is unlike any of his other movies, for sure. It almost feels like when Michael Bay does Pain and Gain, you know, to get away from the explosions.
Oh, like how he actually makes a good movie? Shots fired. Sorry, Michael Bay.
Just that, like, I just take Gore Verbinski to be a Hollywood blockbuster filmmaker, not one of these smaller dramatic filmmakers, but he can pull it off.
One for you, one for me. Or, like, eight for you, one for me.
This is the Good Morning America.
I'm so nervous. He's gonna mess it up.
He looks like a weatherman.
Yeah.
This was written by the guy who wrote Walter Mitty and The Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, no.
This feels like that.
Yeah, I could totally... Yeah, Walter Mitty. What was up with that movie? That depressed me.
Oh, and Unfinished Business, that Vince Vaughn movie with Dave Franco from last year.
Huh. Missed it.
32 Metacritic score, so... Probably fine. That you missed it, I mean. See, like, he's really good at what he does.
Yeah, they like him. That's part of what's so sad about it, though.
Mm-hmm. Right there, that green screen, that was my... I think that was my background picture.
Yep.
Feels about right.
I still want to take all the green screen footage of him and put something amazing behind him while he's explaining what's going on. Like, here's a big explosion and here's a TIE fighter and... Jesus Christ.
It's so mean.
It's unbearably mean almost, you know?
I mean, in front of a stranger offering him a job.
It's disrespectfully mean.
Mm. No, he's got to talk to his son.
That dildo... This very easily could have been Bradley Whitford. I don't know why it's not.
Great call. Terrific call. Should have been. Because this guy I've seen in other movies play more of a heavy or a thug or something. I kind of don't picture him as this pushover.
Sort of dork.
Yeah.
Schlubby guy. Spoiler. Oh, he was in Sopranos, isn't he, or no?
It looks like it would be. This is the best. Got little Beastie Boys.
Yep. Little in sound from way out. That guy is in a Keanu movie that came out last year called Exposed.
Oh, the Chinese lawyer movie.
No, that's the whole truth.
Oh, the Chinese lawyer movie.
Exposed is the detective movie with Ana de Armas from Knock Knock.
Oh.
It's bad. He's also in Pain and Gain. Just talk about that.
I like the way snow looks in movies and stuff. Like, this looks like real snow, too. Photographs so well. And there's nothing I hate more than fake snow.
Oh, that's why I didn't recognize him. He's Jackie Aprile in The Sopranos.
There you go. I knew.
No.
See, yep. I knew him as a badass of some kind.
But he dies of cancer in the first season.
Yeah, but he's got a reputation, you know, for the ages.
Yeah. And then he's got Jackie Jr., who just got
who
capped.
Just R.I.P. J.J. Just like... He busts in on that poker game, right?
Busts in the poker game. Yeah, and then...
And I think there's even that line, you know who you're robbing from?
But they say that in the first season, too, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But then, the next episode he just gets capped in the back of the head.
Yeah, like going
that's
out for milk
cool.
in the morning.
That was a great shot.
The ice.
Yeah.
I'm rolling into the third act here.
I wonder if this is actually Cage doing archery. That looked like CGI.
That's a good call. I wonder. I'm sure there's tons of CGI we're just not even aware of in this movie. Excuse me.
He at least has good enough form to look like he's doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure he spent as much time at the range as he did at the weather station, you know, at least to just at least make it look like he knows what he's doing. Yeah.
Oh, this is weird. Yeah, I forgot about this.
I don't know what happens next. I forgot. I think he gets hit with something else. Oh. Having a freak out.
No.
Yes, it never stops. Apple pie.
Throw the apple pie in the car. Oh, just do that, yeah.
Calm down, man.
They started it.
Well, they just think that they're just having fun, you know, and...
They all treat him like he's not a real person. Even though he's kind of a dick.
They have no idea how broken he is.
Yeah, they all treat him like he doesn't have feelings.
What's amazing is just, like, the liberty that you assume you can take with celebrity. Like, I feel like that's part of it too. It's like, because he's on TV, you feel like he should give you the time of day.
Well, they're also saying that, like, because people are like pissed at him because, like, it's such an easy job and they don't get paid so well, you know what I mean? Like, he's enviable. And
but it's also, yeah, it's also so clear the moment most people talk to him that he doesn't want to talk and they push him.
I like how she doesn't even notice the pie. I didn't mention it because it's just, of course, he got hit with something. It's a big break.
That's a lot of money. To basically do the same job he's doing now. He just got like $1 million potential raise.
Which he calls super easy.
I do feel though, like, this movie is different from like The Family Man and Sweet November and everything, that like I don't really think he's the problem here. He is a problem, he's not the problem.
He's not the only issue. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean when I say that, like, they're all kind of terrible.
Mm-hmm. You're right, because think about it, like, Taya Leone in The Family Man is, like, one of the best characters, like, in Cage Club. Like,
yep.
The way she handles everything is amazing.
Like, I think that if life treated him better, I don't know if he'd necessarily be, like, a good guy, but, like, he'd be a lot better off.
Well, he wants to be nice.
But his dad shits on him, the world throws food at him.
But it also seems clear that, like, he doesn't know what he wants. Like, these obviously aren't the people who are going to support him, and he's not going to help them support him, so he has to take some responsibility in it. But also, like, he has to stop hanging out with these toxic people in his life.
This feels real. This feels like this is actually him doing archery. Yes, I agree. He should have stopped hanging out with toxic people. Like, he should probably move on from his wife and not spend time with his father.
Yeah, and be good to his kids.
But also, that's hard. Like, how do you just, you know...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to shoot him, is he?
No, but...
No, but...
Oh, boy.
That's just about as bad. Like...
Oh, you guys told me this movie has a happy ending.
I said it's hopeful and uplifting at the... upbeat at the end.
He's going to shoot the cigarette?
No.
He's just going to kind of... mess with them.
Everybody sees him for the psychopath he is in this moment.
Oh, that is Mom? I don't recall ever seeing her in this movie.
This party was her idea, but that was the first time they referenced her.
Huh. Alright. How does this go? This can't go too well, but...
Doesn't the power go out?
Oh, right, yes. He gets saved by the bell.
Yep.
That's it.
Because I think he had, like, a nice speech, right? Like, it was like a... It was going to be, like, an actual, like, positive...
He's a weatherman. He knows how to make a good speech.
Does he?
This movie might have some of... This has, like, some of the most of the... Some of the most voiceover I've ever heard in an entire movie,
well,
now that
works,
I think
though.
About it.
It's not,
it
like,
does work.
Forced.
It's weird, like, how it's working, but it is quite a bit. I'm surprised they got away with it.
And we talk about a lot about how we wish Cage did more voiceover, and I don't know that we... I didn't remember this as much, but, like, it's so good here throughout. Like, from the beginning to this, you know, it's just all good. Like, his life is in such shambles that he can't even give a good eulogy for his dad. Like, that's...
But he also is such a victim of his own life at this point that he didn't even bother to say, wait, I'd like to finish my speech.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Like, he had the power to do that.
Just self-destructive to the nth degree. Just not willing to improve his life or take his life into his own hands or whatever. Everybody's talking about jacked in this.
2005, people were getting really jacked up.
Jack his wallet, he's jacked about this.
He should just take the job and go have a new life.
But he loves his kids.
Yeah, so he'll be rich. He could fly back and forth.
They could still be part of his life, but I feel like he needs to go out on his own. Like, they're weighing... Not that they're weighing him down or anything, but that they're keeping him... Like, he thinks that he needs to... look after them when they're already looked after. They have a mom and a stepdad. Like their weight's on him, I feel. Like, he needs to go out there and be himself for a while. Like, they'll be fine without him. As sad as that
is.
Well,
which he probably doesn't want to admit, either.
Right.
That's the big thing.
Yeah. But not, like, in a sad way, I feel.
No,
like,
but pretty much in a sad way. I mean, it's not a happy... It's, you know, it's not like... It's...
Yeah.
But it is a reality that sometimes you just don't get along with your parents. Sometimes parents just weren't meant to be parents.
I do feel like if at this point in the movie Michael Caine died, he would probably possibly be more likely to take the job. It would, like, free him of a burden. But that's not the world he lives in. Because he is not just giving up on his wife and his, or his ex-wife and his kids, but also, like, his dying father, you know? Like, nothing in his life is good, but there's a lot of responsibility that he has. Spritz nipper.
He's losing it. He's losing it.
Maybe.
Just that. That sudden realization, and then, okay.
Here he is, ready for confrontation with the Jacker.
Oh, down the steps.
See, Cage has great teeth in this one.
Yeah, his teeth are much better.
They're super on point.
They were better in Wild at Heart, too.
But even here, the top row looked newer. Or more straight.
Maybe he treats himself to new teeth every year.
New teeth every year? That's probably a thing when you're rich.
I feel like if you get good enough teeth, you'll be fine forever. Or fine for a while, at least.
Hot dogs!
Jordan, why does your life with us revolve around hot dogs?
You guys, this doesn't happen to me when I'm not talking to you guys. There are no hot dogs when you're not there.
Oh, this is a nice montage here.
Oh, that's, yes. Mm-hmm.
I think there's more.
Oh. Good slow-mo.
Oh, those McNuggets are great.
I would love to be somebody who says, I threw chicken nuggets at Nicolas Cage on camera. Yeah, I forgot about this, Mike. You're right. His own comparison to fast food. Oh, boy.
Hey, is that some Taco Bell you got there? Better not be Burger King.
I feel like we need to invent games for the Cage Club podcast that we need to play during the during the Revisited.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what those are, though.
Yeah, because the slower movies are going to be rough. Rough around the edges. Especially if it's the last one of the day.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, it's... Like, there's things going on. It's just... It's hard to really, like, keep up with the, you know, the commentary of it all. Because there's not... Like, it's just a slower pace. There's just... There's physically less things on screen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this one in particular is, like, a little bit deeper, maybe, where, like, it actually requires some thought to say things about it.
Plus, you're just not very talkative today. I thought you'd be a lot more bubbly and, like, a lot more talkative on here.
It's hard for me to multitask.
Yeah, I guess. I feel like there's going to be an equal amount of, like, movies that we watch for this that are... amazing in terms of, like, things to talk about and stuff, and then there's going to be an equal number that are just sort of like, ooh, I don't know what to talk about.
Yeah, wait, well, which ones have you done so far?
We did Best of Times, which was, I thought,
quick.
It still might be our best. Might be our best one. We should have quit after one.
We still can.
Maybe that was the problem. You started off with a really good one.
We started off with the first one, and then we did the Superman documentary, and then we did Trespass. And I think like all three of those are pretty good. And then Mike and I did Seeking Justice, which for the most part was pretty good.
Yeah.
There were a little bit of lulls in that, and then we did the three with you today.
I think it might just be that by the third one, it's kind of hard to be as energetic and enthusiastic.
I think we just need to schedule them better.
Mm-hmm.
I think you also need to schedule like a small workout in between, so you have like energy going again.
Or just like start doing drugs.
Yeah.
Uppers. Oh, he's listening to the Like a Rock.
My one friend who wants to do The Rock with us said he wants to come over and get real, real drunk and do The Rock. I was like, hey, that's fine. That's somebody who's never been on anything that we've ever done before. He's in a fantasy baseball league.
I feel like drinking could go either way.
Oh, it's definitely going to go terribly, but it's going to be very exciting. I think that's the only one he wants to do, so it might just be like a one-off, but it's going to be... I mean, that's a big movie. You need to make sure we have like all the energy for that one.
Like, I think I would have been a crazy person if we were watching, like a movie like Flying, you know, where there's a lot to like yell and scream about.
That would have been great, though. I do feel like this is definitely one of the slowest Cage movies. Like, if it's bad and slow, or one that we don't like and slow, we can talk more about what we don't like about it. But this is, like, good. I don't think it's, like, exceptional, but, like, it's good. There's nothing really negative to point out about it. And it's slow in that there's not a lot to talk about positively either. It's just... It's thoughtful, it's meditative, it's... Who was on the podcast for this? Was it Lindsay Gibb?
Yep.
How long was the podcast, the first one?
That's about an hour.
Probably about an hour.
About an hour.
Most of the podcasts we did were about an hour. I'd say most of them were in that, like, 45 to 55 range.
I can't judge, because all of mine were,
not
like,
Jordan
2 hours.
Episodes.
Yeah, Jordan episodes were special episodes. What movies did you do podcasts for? You did Wild at Heart, which was 2 hours.
I did Wild at Heart. I did Season of the Witch.
That wasn't that long, I don't think.
No, because I like literally like couldn't remember what happened, even though I had just watched the movie.
Yep.
That was a tough one. I did Rage.
Tokarev.
Mm-hmm. I did Doggy Dog. Wasn't there a good one that I did? I did all bad.
I don't think so. I think you're thinking Parenthood, maybe, for Keanu
Club. Yeah, I mean,
Club.
I did Parenthood, and I did...
You did a Walk on the Clouds?
Yeah.
And Flying. A.K.A. Dream to Believe, A.K.A. four other titles.
I still can't get anybody to watch that with
me. Well, we've been over
then
this.
You have no real friends.
Is that you have no friends who like movies.
No, but, like, I can't even get, like, Allie to watch it with me.
Mm. I'll whip Allie in a show.
All right, great.
Hey, Allie. Sit down, get real into Olivia Diabo for 2 hours. So we were doing the Animatrix,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
she's the voice in the Animatrix.
Really?
She's got like two lines. She's such an insignificant character. But I was like, Mike, you're never going to guess who this woman is. He's like, who? I was like, Olivia Diabo.
Did you say something during the Flying episode where you're like, oh, she's going to come back way down the line. Probably, you're probably going to forget, but she'll be back for the Matrix.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't either.
You mentioned it.
Oh, man.
I hope he quits being a weatherman.
I think he just reconciled with his dad, sort of, in this car here. Sort of.
Does he die in this movie? Does he have an actual funeral, too?
No, I don't remember. I think there might be a shot of them walking out of his funeral.
I kind of wish when Jess Knight comes up for commentaries, I kind of want to do one for Babes in Toyland and just put that out as a bonus one. I just want to watch that movie with her.
It's
going to
drive her crazy. I'd rather let her keep her sanity. Well, we have to watch the extended cut.
Yep. C-I-N-C-I-N-N-A-T, I Cincinnati.
Does he cry in other movies?
Yeah.
Not nearly as often as Zac Efron cries.
Does Zac Efron cry a lot?
Oh, we have like a running like crying total, and a whenever he runs or cries or is shirtless or is
he runs a lot?
Yeah, or crying while running.
Crying, or, running, and shirtless.
In Neighbors 2, he cries and runs.
That's kind of spooky.
There's half a deer.
Is this an archery? This is an archery range. Okay. I'm sure some of these targets move. Maybe not.
I don't think so.
No bra. Oh, I thought that was like an insult, but it's actually just, you know.
I think it's a type of arrow.
Yeah. How do you, like, if you're on an archery range like this, I guess you must, you have to rent the arrows, because, like, they're not going to let you walk on the range to retrieve your arrows, right? Like, you have to use the ones that are,
why,
otherwise, this
why
would be the,
couldn't you take your own arrows?
Because if there's more than one, if you're not alone, and there's other people shooting arrows,
well, yeah, but there's probably take rules, turns. Like, about how you use the targets, and about when you go where.
Well,
otherwise, it would just be, like, chaos all the time.
Oh, there's the funeral.
He did die, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think he actually does give that speech, if I remember right. He might not.
There's a lot of weather in this movie. Snow, rain.
They're going to do it in the rain.
I won't bury another Batman.
You should make a Nicolas Cage bingo to play.
That could be fun.
That.
During movies.
What else could we do during these?
Oh, that's sweet. Hey, we're gonna have to, I'm going to have to start thinking up games tonight.
She's wearing a hat. She's always wearing a hat.
That's her thing.
Oh, I had a problem with this when that happened, because that's such a low dream to have.
Not if you're a 15-year-old kid and you like football or whatever.
I guess Monday Night Football is also bigger at this time than it is now. Now that football's on basically every night of the week.
It's hard to know what dreams are good ones or bad ones.
That's a great
dream
line.
Of flying, it's a good dream.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's a real depressing one to end our day on.
Yeah, I'm tired.
The movie's draining.
I think it had some good life lessons, though.
Oh, it sure did. And it had lots of great Cage voiceover. More Beastie Boys.
We're coming up on the end here, right?
Yeah, we got like less than 10 minutes. Including the credits.
No after credit scenes today.
No.
There aren't many in the Cage movies. There's probably one in Kick-Ass, right?
I don't know. I haven't watched to the end of Kick-Ass through the credits. I mean, it started off sort of as a joke and to just make sure we watched every single minute of all the movies, and then it just happened to be that one at the end.
It was mostly like a self-imposed punishment that I had with, because as soon as the first one ended, Mike's like, oh no, it wasn't Best of Them because that's no credits, but like Superman, I was like, no, we're watching this. You're like, oh no, but then I actually had one, so it was like, it worked out. The titular line
again.
What conclusion did he just come to?
That he's a weatherman.
Oh.
That's who he is.
It's a nice cut.
Here you go. This is your opportunity, Mike, to...
Yeah, to put a big pirate ship behind him.
Yep. But it can only be on a screen, so it can't be in real life, like...
Yeah. Oh, well. Take what you can get in this Cage life. That was nice, but that's kind of weird. Like, it's alright. So long, water cooler.
He took the job.
There we go. And now they watch him on TV. Like, they could have watched him all the time, but now that he's, like, unnational, they're going to watch him.
Is he how much brighter it is here at the end? Now that he's not in Chicago anymore, all the terrible weather has left with him?
Well, it's like spring now.
Nice. He brought the archery with him.
No, that's Chicago. That's not New York. I think, isn't it? That's not New York. I think that's...
But he lives in New York now.
But isn't that Russ, or is that
but
not
it
Russ?
But it says...
That's not Russ.
What's the Essex house?
Is that Russ?
Oh, no, it's not Russ.
That's not Russ.
No, that's New York.
It must be New York.
Oh, look, he's being nice to a guy now.
He gave him an autograph. It's a huge, huge move.
See, all you have to do is be, like, relatively nice, then you can not answer his questions, and, like, people are fine. See, I don't know if post 9/11 you can walk around with a bow and arrow in downtown New York.
No, you probably can't.
I mean, if they know you as the weatherman, I mean, maybe.
People do archery in New York.
You probably can't have like your arrows out like that, but I'm sure you could walk around the street with it.
He does fly back on the weekends. SpongeBob really plays a key role in this movie.
He kind of looks like SpongeBob a little here at the end, too.
Does he?
I don't know. Just he's happy. SpongeBob's happy. They both represent fast food. I don't know.
Krabby Patties?
All right.
That's a weird way for that to end. Hello,
but
America?
It ended.
That's the name of the show.
No, I understand that that's the name
of
the show.
Wait, hold on, but I don't think you get it. Like, it's the name of the show he's on.
Okay, yeah, you're right, I didn't get it.
I'd like to retroactively apologize for that episode. If you made it this far, there was a lot of gaps where we just didn't talk.
But, like, probably just watch the movie, and it'll make more sense.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Oh, boy.
There's no,
Music by Hans Zimmer, Mike. He would later go on to do all of the Christopher Nolan movies. Maybe that's where he's like, where Christopher Nolan's like, hey, do you know somebody who can play Alfred? He's like, I got the perfect guy. Who knew that little 15 or 16-year-old Nicholas Holt would go on to do such great things?
I feel like he was always doing great things. Like, what's the first thing? Was About a Boy the first thing that he was in? And then he was in British Skins, which was great.
Is that with... Wait, is that with Caius Scolidario? Scolidario?
I don't know who that is.
Maybe that's... Is there an Australian Skins or no?
There might be. There was an American one.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, look how long Shelley's name is.
Yep. That's why she was never cast in more things, because she,
No one could say her name.
Yep. Shelley's companion has a long name, too. Melanie DeCellis Castro.
You should make a game out of credits, too.
Himself, Bryant Gumbel. I muted your mic, Mike. Nope.
Oh, sorry about that.
When was Wolfgang Puck in this?
Probably on, like, a clip that got cut. Stunt person for Mr. Key.
I think
Eddie
he was
Yancic.
On an out-of-focus television screen, cooking with Bryant Gumbel at one point.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, this is a kind of a tough one to do a commentary to, because it is a quieter one and a more depressing one.
And also, like, what I was trying to say in the middle of the movie, I don't know if I actually got that far, but, like, this is kind of a standalone one in that there weren't many key connections.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of actors that cross over. There's not a lot of themes that cross over. There's not a lot of, like, there's no peaches in this movie.
There was a hot dog.
A hot dog, but that's not really a
Keanu thing. But that's more
thing.
Of a Keanu thing, but still. I'll take
right.
it.
All of our worlds are blending together.
They got this nice sort of, like, new wave reggae going on here.
Yeah, I feel like for one like this, like, if, to talk the whole time, you'd have to just do a bunch of research and plan it out into how to talk the whole time.
But that's why we just need tons of games.
Yeah. Yeah, you need prompts.
Well, this is the first 30-second lull where none of us talked. Here's the game that we had to play.
It's been approximately 5 minutes,
good,
and...
You'll get good at seeing when they're coming.
Assistant to Mr. Cage, Stephen Burris.
Hmm. Oh, so... I didn't realize they list all the PAs. All right.
Everybody gets listed.
Accounting clerk? Is that the last credit, the accounting clerk?
No, they didn't do the music yet.
Oh, here we go with all the second.
Yeah, we gotta get credits. The Beastie Boys didn't get their due yet.
Wow. I am pretty tired right now, though. I'll tell you that much. I'm ready. Like kind of ready to roll.
No matter what movies you watch, it's hard to watch 3 movies in one day.
No, it's not.
Five. Seven's tough.
I set my record in the fall, or in December? No, not December. Maybe December. I did 8 in a day. That's my new record.
My record was definitely when we went to the draft house Rocky. To see the Rocky, all 7 Rocky movies.
I've done 7 at least twice now, including that.
I've done 4 and 3 a couple times. Like, we just did 5 with the Hey Arnold marathon.
Oh,
that was like a walk in the park.
5 is easy.
That was like, especially compared to Rocky... Like, I was literally crawling. I had to be taken out of Rocky, like, on someone's shoulders.
I was worried for my sanity after Rocky.
But I was, like, skipping out of the Arnold Marathon.
We also left the theater, like, 3 hours earlier after getting there an hour later.
That's true.
And overall had better quality movies to watch.
Yeah. True. All those variables do apply.
5 is very doable because of the film. Like, I feel like if you've gone to a bunch of film festivals, I think you can sort of, you know, raise your tolerance, raise your bar.
Yeah. For me, it just takes that extra effort to just start it. As soon as it started,
Michael Lewis Diamond, Adam Nathaniel Yount, and Adam Horovitz, and Mark Ramos Nishita.
I think, I'm not positive, but I think that's
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Their percussionist.
It might be.
Bobo.
Bobo, I mean, it's not Mixmaster Mike, is it, or is it?
I don't think that's Mixmaster Mike's real name. I don't think he was with him until after that.
Mixmaster Mike making history.
One man band. All right, credits almost
Kumar.
Over. I'm like, come on, credits staff. End.
That was in the last credits too.
Persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarities to any actual weatherman is unintentional.
Oh boy.
And do we get a final spritz nipper?
Oh, that would be great.
That would be really fun.
No.
No, just all right,
that was fun. Well, thank you for listening. We will catch you on the next one.